Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'll be speaking about being mindful. David said in the Psalms, chapter 8, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 9. This is in the Psalms. Chapter 8, starting verse 1. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Verse 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honour. Verse 6. Thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. Verse 7. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field. Verse 8. The fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. Verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The word mindful in Strong's is number 2142. It's a primitive root, properly to mark, as in to be recognized, as to remember, by implication to mention. It comes from another word which means to be male, or to earnestly be male, or make mention of, or be mindful, or recount, record, remember, or make to be remembered, or bring to remembrance. And think on. God knows where you are all the time, but he has marked you, if you're born again, by the Spirit. Daily, he will bring thoughts to your mind so you know what to do and not to do as a child of the living God. Expect him to remind you of things that you have forgotten. You may have missed the Lord or have the wrong priorities. But he reminds you because you now have a Father in heaven looking after you through repentance from dead works. In the Living Bible, Psalm 8 verses 1 to 9 says, O Lord our God, the majesty and glory of your name fills all the earth and overflows the heavens. You have taught the little children to praise you perfectly. May their example shame and silence your enemies. When I look up into the night skies, and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have made, I cannot understand how you can bother with mere puny man to pay any attention to him, and yet you have made him only a little lower than the angels, and placed a crown of glory and honor upon his head. You have put him in charge of everything you made. Everything is put under his authority, all sheep and oxen, and wild animals too, the birds and fish and all the life in the sea. O Jehovah, our Lord, the majesty and the glory of your name fills the earth. As his representatives, without any great knowledge at creation, man was positioned just below the angels and designed to bring glory to God on earth. God has the plan. He knows what he's doing, and his ways work. God's enemies are ignorant compared to those with a childlike faith. God has set reminders in the heavens with the moon and the stars for those who want to praise him. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. This is in the book of Genesis chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. Now the serpent was made more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The word subtle in Strong's is number 6175. It's a passive participle of another word meaning cunning, usually in a bad sense, crafty, prudent, or subtle. I was preaching in London one time, and an angry young lady at the end of the service approached me. She said, God created the devil, and he knew he would fall, so therefore he's the problem. I answered the lady that God has provided a devil-free life in Christ. But she did not like that answer. Anytime you come to the conclusion that God is the problem, you have believed lies and are spreading them, listening to a wrong voice for the sake of your flesh. The real problem is man, because through the flesh, the devil gets access again and again. In the Message Bible, Genesis 3:1 says, The serpent was clever, and more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman, Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden? Lucifer, as a serpent, was given subtle or clever abilities by God. His job in the Garden of Eden was to convince Adam and Eve of the goodness of God. Adam and Eve only needed instructions through the tree of life. They were called by God to serve in complicated situations, but he would deliver them. All they had to do was hear, trust, and obey. In this way, God will get the glory if they remain faithful to the truth, representing him on earth. The creation would then see God deliver them and fear them too as his representatives. The devil tempted Eve to look instead at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Based on the rights and wrongs, she was drawn away by the lust of the flesh, seeing what God sees. Man was not designed to know anything without having humility and grace. Knowledge puffs up and leads to a fall. Those who decide things for themselves are arrogant, and through a confidence in the flesh will have many sorrows. The rest of creation also suffered as a result of not having God's instructions coming through man. James said in James chapter 3, verses 15 to 18, I'm reading in the book of James chapter 3, I'm starting in verse 15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16, For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17, But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18, And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The devil is now the god of this world. So use man's wisdom and technology sparingly, or with moderation. With man's wisdom, you can be lord of your own life, and that's why it's devilish. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. This is in the book of Genesis chapter 1. I'm reading verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God put everything under man on the earth so that his perfect will could be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is still mindful of man today. Even after Eve took from the wrong tree, it did not give God a headache. In the Garden of Eden, everything was perfectly functioning in balance, so Adam and Eve knew exactly what God wanted in other regions of the earth, as they were given the command to multiply. The Garden of Eden was like a model show home. They had the power to provide for the whole earth. Just outside the garden, there were a few dinosaurs roaming around with a big appetite. And after the plan to multiply was put on hold, they soon became hungry after the fall of man. It's possible that animals changed their eating habits to survive before the flood after the fall of man. Adam did not look very intimidating as God's representative without the presence of God, using the knowledge of good and evil. Sin is not just doing something evil, but it's also failing to do something God created you to do every day. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now you are born again. Fight to use eternal life that Jesus paid for on the cross. If you are not holding on to eternal life as a child of God, you are holding on to something else in this world. You do not have to use your minds to make decisions like the rest of the world. If you do, then you'll be left behind. You receive the Holy Spirit to guide, lead, and keep you safe. God loves you. Even in the church, it is a fight to ask God everything. Corrupt leaders will tell you God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verses 2 and 3. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm reading verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus has power to give eternal life to those the Father gives to him, those who come to the Father for help, that have given up on their lordship and repented of dead works, will be given a chance to hear, trust, and obey perfectly, and get to know God intimately through the gift of eternal life. With the gift of eternal life, you are authorized to get to know God now, even with the devil running around. You do not have to use your mind anymore to come to truth or make decisions. If you believe and do not doubt, you can ask God any question and get an answer immediately. You can even ask more questions if you do not understand God's answer immediately. When I started in the ministry, I thought Adam and Eve were guilty of the biggest mistake, causing so much pain for everyone else. Now, through Jesus Christ, you can make a fresh start and choose to serve God by the Spirit or serve self through the flesh. Abraham Lincoln was an American lawyer, politician, and statesman who served as the 16th president of the United States from 1861 until his assassination in 1865. Lincoln led the Union through the American Civil War to defend the nation as a constitutional union and succeeded in abolishing slavery, bolstering the federal government, and modernizing the U.S. economy. In a battle he was fighting in the American Civil War, he was suffering severe losses. His captain said to him, "We need God on our side." Abraham turned to his captain and said, "No, we just need to be on God's side." Through the message of Joseph Hedgecock, I discovered by making decisions of my own mind that I was making the same mistake as Adam and Eve after being born again. Jesus is Lord now, by the Spirit, for those who want to hear and obey. God has been faithfully sending messengers to the earth for mankind to repent of using their minds to make decisions for nearly 2,000 years. Making decisions with your mind is not trusting God. Anything that's not of faith is sin. By making decisions based on the knowledge of right and wrong without asking God, you are working for the devil. It's not too late to change sides and get on God's side. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Failure to do every day what you need to do to get ready for the calling on your life is sin. It's a sin of omission. You are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. But if you're in the flesh, then you are the devil's workmanship, doing dead religious works instead. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. I'm reading James chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You are born again by the word of truth. And if you're not still responding to and processing conviction properly, your life will not change. By getting on the narrow way, others will see that you are not afraid of some pressure. They will see God is with you as you stay submitted to him. Show others how to repent of bad fruit if it appears. You should swiftly obey the thoughts he puts in your mind by the grace of God and not get angry in complicated situations. We read in Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 14. This is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, I'm reading verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished of Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Verse 14. And I will be found of you, says the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. God is mindful of your calling, even if you are not. You need to get ready for the kingdom of heaven now. This is the best time to be alive because the kingdom of God is already here to help you get ready. In the Old Testament, the Jews were given the task of giving light to other nations. However, they were behind and not willing to submit and endure the conviction and correction coming through the law and the prophets. They were given 70 years of captivity to learn obedience, submitting to Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord promised to be with them in Babylon. They would have peace, and he would restore them at the right time. But they were not to listen to false prophets appealing to their carnal desires and dreams in the meantime. Captivity and submission may appear bad, but it's an important lesson. You have to learn to be under authority before you can be in authority. The Jews were promised a happy ending if they submitted to God's plan to get them back on track. Forced to leave Judah, Israel lived in captivity in Babylon between 597 and 538 BC, only 59 years. They were liberated early by the Persian leader Cyrus the Great to build the temple that was completed in 516, 70 years later. We read in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 6 to 10. This is in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8. I'm starting in verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Verse 7. Also, Yeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabethai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. Verse 8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Verse 10. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In 444 BC, under Nehemiah's leadership, the Jews experienced revival in difficult circumstances. They were able to rejoice after they were given grace to understand the law through the Levites. This was a breakthrough that led to confession of sin and deep repentance. Those who put their own lives at risk repaired the walls of Jerusalem with a sword in one hand to protect themselves from their enemies. In these conditions, the joy of the Lord was their strength to keep going. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8, and reading verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. And they answered him, We are Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34. Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. The flesh has its own version of freedom that is not submission to God. You will experience conviction and truth every day through the words of Jesus if you're born again. Unless you obey the truth consistently, you're not free from the desires of the flesh. Do not replace truth with a set of man-made doctrines for the sake of your flesh. Sin and bad habits will not reappear in a period of pressure or persecution if the words of Jesus are still abiding in you. What you think you know hinders you from believing what you need to know now. The truth in your heart will set you free, not what you know in your head. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 13 to 17. This is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. I'm reading verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Verse 14. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Verse 16, But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Verse 17, Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The Messiah being rejected by the Jews was part of God's plan for everyone to believe through Christ dying on the cross. Paul told the new converts to give thanks and be living sacrifices submitted to those who were making them feel second grade. Time was running out for the Jews that crucified their own Messiah, following a way that seems right. The religious Jews were blind to the coming wrath and destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 by the Romans. The new Jewish converts left behind in Jerusalem were given the task of testifying to God's provision by doing what was pleasing to God through the Spirit they received. This will be a testimony against the unconverted, rebellious Jews who were resisting the Holy Spirit. They killed the Messiah, stoned Stephen, and started persecuting the church. Some thought it'd be easier just to go back to Judaism and try to make peace that way. In the Living Bible, Hebrews 13, verses 13 to 17 says, "So let us go out to him beyond the city walls, that is outside the interests of this world, being willing to be despised, to suffer with him, there bearing his shame. For this world is not our home. We are looking forward to our everlasting home in heaven. With Jesus' help, we will continually offer our sacrifice of praise to God by telling others of the glory of his name. Don't forget to do good and to share what you have with those in need. For such sacrifices are well-pleasing to him. Obey your spiritual leaders and be willing to do what they say. For their work is to watch over your souls, and God will judge them on how well they do this. Give them reason to report joyfully about you to the Lord, and not with sorrow, for then you will suffer for it too. Do not set boundaries for your own faith in complicated situations. He can draw a bigger circle when others erect man-made walls and put you outside. God can use anything and anybody to change your heart and the hearts of others. Jesus showed us a living way for anyone who is willing to hear, trust, and obey through the cross by dying for his enemies. Even in a period of persecution or captivity, Jesus is Lord. And if you are being trained, submit to God and learn the lessons you need to learn now, faithfully asking God everything, and you'll grow rapidly." God said in Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 13. This is in the book of Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Verse 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 10. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Verse 11. "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Verse 12. "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Verse 13. "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." God is transmitting his perfect will. If you will not respond to his rightly revealed word of truth and be a doer, God will find somebody else who will do it his way. His ways will bring glory to his name, not yours. You are designed to hear in your mind by staying humble. If you get a good idea and it works, in all situations, that came from God. If you get a bad idea that does not work, that came from you. Do not take the glory that belongs to God by not testifying that he was the one who provided the right thought in your mind in a complicated situation. God said in Isaiah 51, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, starting in verse 1. "Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Verse 2. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. God declares in this passage how it will end for all those that are doers of the word. But you must change your priorities. There is no reason why anyone seeking his kingdom should not be getting what they need now through faith, asking God everything. Those who cannot hear his voice are not alive spiritually, keeping traditions and rules for the sake of their conscience. If you are born again and not delighting yourself in what he provides and doing through you when you obey, you are foolish. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with Jesus, where you diligently incline your ear. You are either part of the solution, doing what he's saying, or getting in the way. The everlasting covenant goes beyond all other covenants. It will be the covenant when Jesus is ruling and reigning for 1,000 years, and it's here now, too. Jesus talked in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeketh finds, and him that knocks it shall be opened. Verse 9. Of what man is there of you, whom if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Verse 10. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 11. For if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Verse 12. Therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. In the Message Bible, Matthew 7, 7 to 14 says this. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think that God, who conceived you in love, will be even better? Here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and the prophets, and this is what you get. Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life, to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. Those with abundance can love their enemies easily. His life-changing promises work on the narrow way. If you're on the broad way and God gives you what you want so you can fulfill the lust of your flesh, you will end up in hell quicker. You will have less time to repent and save yourselves from destruction. The everlasting covenant is based on doing his will, not yours. Many bargain with God to get his blessing, to fulfill a dream they think will make them happy. This is wasting time. Everything belongs to God, even if you give him your life. Then you're only giving him back what he gave you to do, his perfect will. He is mindful of your needs. So you can safely get on the narrow way and start asking God everything. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 26. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, I'm reading verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. Those ashamed of Jesus and his teachings do not believe it's necessary to ask God everything. Those with a confidence in the flesh believe they can still make good decisions with their own minds. They have rejected Christ and believe that man is good and the flesh is not corrupt and helpless. They believe self-denial is not necessary because they are serving the flesh. What you believe in your heart is what you do. If you hear and obey his voice instantly, you are not ashamed of him or his words. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 14 and verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. To take up your cross daily, you need righteousness, peace, and joy. As the pressure increases, you may be accused of wrongdoing by others with just outward righteousness. Those who are not doers of the word in complicated situations look like they've been baptized in lemon juice and do things reluctantly. They do not like the answers he gives to solve day-to-day issues because it often means they have to submit and like it, rejoice and deny themselves. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 35 to 39. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, I'm reading verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Verse 36. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39. And know not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. His word will not change or pass away until it's all fulfilled. We are in the last days, and it will be like the days of Noah again very soon. Jesus will come when the world is rejoicing because food prices are normal again, and it looks like COVID has finally disappeared. Entering the ark before the earth was flooded saved Noah and his family. Those eating and drinking at the time perished. We read in Genesis chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. This is in the book of Genesis chapter 6. I'm reading verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah was perfect in his lifetime, and you can do the same with the grace of God. This world is passing away. Noah was building an ocean-going vessel in the desert by faith, as the Lord directed him. It took him 120 years, and he had to plant trees to do this. His tourist attraction was free, but you had to listen to a message from Noah on true righteousness to see inside. This included a testimony of how God provided everything for the ark by walking with God and being in the right place at the right time. His family knew Noah personally was hearing the Lord. They saw the animals God created come into the ark two by two and submit to him, as it should have been from the beginning. Noah was a properly operating human being representing God and fulfilled his calling. And you can do the same if you trust and obey. We read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16, and reading to verse 20. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, starting verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain, where Jesus had appointed them. Verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The disciples still doubted that Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave by faith, just hearing and obeying God. If you believe that Jesus used his divine power, is it because you're not willing to follow Jesus' example yourself? Jesus did not put a huge standard on his disciples. Jesus gave them a few simple instructions with the gospel. Because of their doubts, Jesus promised the disciples he would never leave or forsake them. I also have my doubts when Jesus called me in the ministry, but I quickly agreed to go if he would go with me and if he would tell me what to say. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 14 to 20. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 14. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 19, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The word upbraid in Strong's is number 3679. It comes from another word which means to defame, that is to rail or chide, taunt, cast in teeth, suffer, reproach, revile, or upbraid. And Jesus started eating with them, they still did not believe that he overcame death with the same physical body. Yet to defame all of them as they were listening to a wrong voice. Their hearts were hard and resistant because they had dreams or a fantasy they wanted to fulfill themselves. If you do not believe in the need to ask God everything, you have an evil heart of unbelief too. Do not be surprised in ministry when you get corrected sharply for having some false hope. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. This is 1 John chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Antichrist spirit is now in the church. True Christians believe that Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave, asking God everything and obeying the Holy Spirit consistently. Those who believe Jesus used his divine power to overcome the cross are dead spiritually for the sake of their flesh. If it was true that Jesus used his divine power, no one would be saved and the dead would not be raised. Carnal Christians have doubts and a fear of suffering because they listen to their flesh even when they have the ability to overcome everything in this world through faith in God. We read in Revelation chapter 18 verses 1 to 5. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 18 starting in verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and is become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Verse 5. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. A loud voice will announce the fall of Babylon. Babylon is not just an ancient city or region. It's a way of making wealth for yourself as lord of your own life. This appeals to the world and some churches too. You are told to come out of any organization making themselves rich with goods and services just to support a failing economy. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Paul was writing to the Jews left behind in humble circumstances, going through some chasing and persecution. You might begin to believe that God has forgotten about you in times like this, but that is not true. The truth is, you have forgotten about him and his promises. Humble yourself, ask God to forgive you, and you can experience a very exciting life representing him. Keep a record, too, of what happens, so you remember what he can do when you put him first. God wants you to be part of his kingdom. This cannot happen if Jesus is not the author and finisher of your faith. He is the author of your born again, but your faith needs to be fully in him as Lord to finish your race. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 6. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Verse 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Verse 5. perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. The name and authority of Christ can be blasphemed through young converts not serving their earthly masters with joy. For the sake of the gospel, no one should seek freedom from their earthly masters. Following Christ, you should not try to change your circumstances until you have learned lessons that are priceless in a challenging situation. The Lord is about to come and set up his kingdom on the earth. He is Lord now. And if you take matters into your own hands because of humble circumstances, you'll be left behind. Jesus gave this parable in Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 to 30. This is Matthew chapter 25, I'm reading verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Verse 25. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that which is thine. Verse 26. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Verse 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. Verse 29. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Churches only believe lies because they want to be lord of their own lives. To use your own mind to make decisions is the most wicked sin in the Bible. The talents God gave you will not be used if you submit to a spirit of fear. If Jesus is not directing everything, then there will be no contentment with godliness. Only he is qualified to make the right decisions because he died and rose again. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, reading verse 23. And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. What is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? In these last days, you are either denying yourself following Christ or denying yourself for the sake of your flesh following the devil. There is no third option. Those who have forsaken Christ did so for earthly gain and worldly comforts of no eternal value. Obeying and keeping the instructions of Jesus will save your soul from a lot of misery and destruction. Christians are often trying to make a stand on the broad road. They resist temptation, facing the wrong direction, trying to serve two masters, but they have not repented of dead works. Carnal Christians start slipping backwards, following a way that seems right to their mind, but it's not the truth. If you want to save your soul, you have to lose your temporal life by not making the decisions yourself. It's only by following Jesus on the narrow way that you can save your soul. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 to verse 34. This is Matthew chapter 6. I'm reading verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus asked the question why anyone should ever take one thought about clothes or food. There has to be a reason why. There are things you may not believe right now about God because you never went through a process of bonding where he provides everything when you are vulnerable or helpless. Those who are helpless have experienced his love. To experience his provision consistently, seek two things. Number one, his kingdom, a better ability to hear, and the grace to obey. Two, his righteousness, the need to be doing and being right in a trial. These are only two things to remember. Those with righteousness by faith will always have a direct line to God in complicated situations. By seeking his kingdom, then you're not building your own. You'll be his co-worker and see how mindful he is in your life practically. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6 and read verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Being concerned about earthly temporal things will take away the time you need to study and pursue each and all things as part of your calling. Now is the time to pay the price. To seek those things Paul listed here, you will need to get on the narrow way. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. This is Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest need to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Verse 7. Thou made him a little lower than the angels, that thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. The word mindful here in Strong's is number 3403. A prolonged form of another word which some of the tenses are borrowed means to remind, that is, in the middle voice, to recall, to remind or be mindful or remember. In the Living Bible, Hebrews 2 and verse 6 says, no, for in the book of the Psalms, David says to God, what is mere man that you are so concerned about him? And who is the son of man you honor so highly. Do not lose your grip on eternal life. There is no escape from judgment if you ignore the truth God brings to your mind through conviction. You will not become a son without some correction. Those things that came by the Spirit were passed on to you from the Lord Jesus Christ personally. The problem is your priorities are wrong. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 18. This is in Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm reading verse 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. The word unmindful in Strong's is number 7876. It means a primitive root to keep in memory or be unmindful. In the Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, Deuteronomy 32:18 says, of the rock who bore you, you were unmindful. You forgot the God who travailed you in your birth. The word mindful appears over 230 times in the Old Testament, but it is often translated as remember in the King James Version of the Bible. It is used in this way to describe something mankind should do regarding God's covenant. It's not something God has to do, since he is outside of time anyway. He does not forget important things like man. Man only forgets because he is seeking temporal things of no eternal value with his mind. In the Living Bible, Hebrews 2 verses 1 to 3 says, so we must listen very carefully to the truths we have heard, or we may drift away from them. For since the messages from angels have always proved true, and people have always been punished for disobeying them, what makes us think that we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation announced by the Lord Jesus himself and passed on to us by those who heard him speak? Do not lose hope when others oppose the true gospel of God in the church. They are ignorant because they want to believe something for the sake of their flesh. We read in Romans chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. I'm reading the book of Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? Verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you're treasuring up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor in immortality, eternal life. Verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Verse 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Verse 10. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Romans 2 and verse 4 says, or are you so blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering, patience? Are you unmindful or actually ignorant of the fact that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind, and in a man to accept God's will? False prophets and preachers everywhere use shallow messages that take one verse out of context. Baby Christians who do not like conviction have no defense without the word of truth. You have a responsibility to study yourself. Lies and false doctrines appeal to those in the church seeking earthly gain and a comfortable life for the flesh. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. This is Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In the Message Bible, Philippians 2 and 12 says, what I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. Those in the flesh are serving two masters. Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave with an uncompromisingly righteous faith in God to deliver him in whatever way he chose. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 6, this is the book of James chapter 4, I'm reading verse 6, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Repent as soon as you notice life starts getting worse when it should be getting better, according to God and the promises in his word. Paul was speaking in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. This is in the book of Acts chapter 16, I'm reading verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. In the autobiography of Charles Finney, on pages 159 to 161, Charles Finney wrote, I always insisted much in my instructions upon the entire consecration to God, giving up all to him, body, soul, possessions, to be forever after used for his glory as a condition of acceptance with God. Sinners were not encouraged to expect the Holy Spirit to convert them while they were passive, and never told to wait God's time, but were taught unequivocally that their first and immediate duty was to submit themselves to God, to renounce their own will, their own way, and themselves, and to instantly deliver up all that they were and all that they had to their rightful owner, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taught the only obstacle in the way was their own stubborn will, that God was trying to gain their unqualified consent to give up their sins and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their righteousness and salvation. The point was frequently urged upon them to give their consent, and they were told the only difficulty was to get their own honest and earnest consent to the terms upon which Christ would save them, and the lowest terms upon which they could possibly be saved. Faith in God and God in Christ was ever made prominent. They were informed that this faith is not a mere intellectual assent, but is the consent or trust of the heart, a voluntary, intelligent trust in God as he is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrine of the justice of endless punishment was fully insisted upon, and not only its justice, but the certainty that sinners will be endlessly punished if they die in their sins was strongly held forth. Sinners were never taught in any of the revivals that they needed to expect conversion in answer to their own prayers. They were told that if they regarded iniquity in their hearts, the Lord would not hear them, and that while they remained impenitent, they were sinning in their hearts, and that such impenitent and unbelieving prayer is an abomination to God. But if they were truly disposed to offer acceptable prayer to God, they could do it, for there was nothing but their own obstinacy in the way of doing so at once. In short, pains were taken to shut the sinner up to accepting Christ, his whole will, atonement, official work, and official relations, renouncing all sin, all excuse-making, all unbelief, all hardness of heart, and every wicked thing in heart and life, here and now forever. Charles Finney taught that intelligent trust in God was clearly seen in the life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he put himself in the hands of his Father. Finney believed that someone would still die if they did not stop sinning. It was not possible to be saved through a correctly worded prayer. Converts had to let go of anything they obtained through earthly wisdom as lords of their own life. They were to make a fresh start and let God use them in whatever way he chose with a clear conscience, even if in the flesh they were uncomfortable. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. I'm reading verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Paul was working for the devil, choosing ignorance for the sake of his flesh. As a Pharisee persecuting the church of God, he was eventually able to talk to his fellow countrymen about his past because he had repented of dead works, not just bad works. You will not have a clear conscience until you have repented of dead works. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Acts 16 and verse 31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, give yourself up to him, take yourself out of your own keeping, and entrust yourself into his own keeping, and you will be saved." To believe on the Lord Jesus is a command to stop consulting your mind and ask him everything. There is no option here to believe on the Savior Jesus Christ. You need to accept Jesus as Lord of your life and repent of dead works. Number one, give yourself up to him and establish him as Lord. Number two, do not look out for your own well-being and comfort in this temporal world. Number three, listen to his every instruction through the Holy Spirit so that he can fully take care of you and keep you. Those who accept Jesus as Savior and still do what they want when they want in these last days will be left behind. Jesus said in John chapter 10 verses 27 and 28. I'm reading John's Gospel chapter 10 starting in verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me." Verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." The word in Strong's is number 5495. It comes from two other words, which gives the idea of hollowness for grasping. The hand, literally or figuratively, power, especially the means or instrument, the hand. The gift of eternal life and your faith in God, you can abide in the hollow of his hand. You do not have to guess at what God wants anymore. Using your mind to make decisions, you will end up on a way that seems right, heading for destruction. Time is running out. You need to do three things. Number one, hear and obey his voice consistently as communicated by the Holy Spirit. Number two, get to know God progressively using the gift of eternal life in trials and difficulties. Number three, follow Jesus by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Doing these three things puts you in the hollow of his hand. Only seek freedom through obeying the truth. You should have given away your free will to Jesus at the point of salvation. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. This is Matthew chapter 11. I'm reading verse 25. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Verse 26. And even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Those who are using the gift of eternal life testify that they can do more with less effort in areas where they struggled before. The yoke is always easy following Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 to 24. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul was preaching how Jesus was crucified by the Jews and how Christ only needed the wisdom of the Father to overcome the devil and the cross. Paul's preaching was an offense to the Jews. The cross does not appear like good news to anyone using the knowledge of good and evil. By following Christ and taking up your cross, you get God's power to do the work he ordained you to do on this earth. You submit to him, and he does the rest. He promises to do the work through you, and he gets the glory. You are honored for letting him use you to do the work through you. When you take over the Lordship, the power is removed because he is the source. We read in John chapter 4, verses 27 to 35. This is John's Gospel, chapter 4, I'm reading verse 27. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and said to the men, verse 29. Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Verse 32. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Verse 34, and Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Verse 35, say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The religious Jews have built their own kingdom with just outward righteousness based on traditions and the knowledge of the law. Even with a natural education, they could have seen the evidence of the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Based on the response of the leaders, it looked like the harvest was not ready. While the disciples had gone to get food, Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman. It didn't take her long to come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ. She got grace, but also experienced conviction as well from what she heard. In the kingdom, you do not get knowledge without truth and conviction. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 18 to 25. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, starting in verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 19, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God. Verse 20, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Verse 21, and he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Verse 22, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Verse 23, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Verse 24, and when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Verse 25, for it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The thinking of the rich young ruler was wrong when he called Jesus good. A corrupt understanding is in all those who get their knowledge from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Only God is good, and those listening to God and faithfully representing the Father by obeying the Spirit, like Jesus was, are also good. The religious leaders could not enter because they had hardened their hearts to the Holy Spirit. The rich young ruler could not enter or enjoy the kingdom of God because he was still serving two masters in his heart. He never had taken orders or been corrected by anyone because he was powerful and rich. In the kingdom of God, Jesus decides everything, and he is Lord because he overcame through obedience to the Holy Spirit and never sinned. This is good news for everyone, rich or poor. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. This is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The apostles did not start a political organization, but inherited the kingdom of God by the Spirit. The kingdom of God on earth is a work of the Holy Spirit, not run by the rich and famous. Those with just a natural education cannot help you spiritually. If you are listening to conspiracy theories or blown about with every wind of doctrine, then you are earthly minded and deceiving yourself. You are actually more interested in politics than the good news based on grace and truth. To become part of the body of Christ, whether you live in a community or not, you must be connected to Christ. Everything comes through obeying God. Often soldiers on the front line get forgotten about and lack resources to do the work. When you do not do your part by obeying the Holy Spirit, by doing the will of God, you suffer losses, not those on the front line. God will get someone else. Everything is recorded. Everyone should be supplying something connected to the head by doing what he told them to do. The church of Ephesus failed to apply the apostles' doctrine about love and became political instead, trying to serve two masters. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Time gives everyone a possibility to change and get a righteous foundation before it's too late. Those who've repented from dead works live in the kingdom of God by grace through faith. What God planned for your life does not take a lifetime when He is Lord and the Holy Spirit is the teacher. When thoughts are not coming regularly to your mind, you know something is wrong. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe." The milk of God's word is to be used for repentance. Deep repentance from bad works will give you ears to hear more. Using spiritual milk to complete doctrines with your mind is like a baby playing on the ground with a 6,000-piece puzzle, trying to fit all the teachings of Christ into a single sermon and frame it. You are trying to make everything work, but you're unskillful because you are carnal. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verses 1 to 3. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Verse 2, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Carnal Christians believe God helps those who help themselves, and this leads to envy and strife. Today, the church is very similar. If you have not yet repented of dead works, you're still a baby. Use a notebook to record everything that brings conviction and start repenting, and you'll begin to put pieces of truth together in your own life. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Verse 11. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Dead works include bad works and good works God did not direct you to do. Carnal leaders that use their own minds to determine what is right and wrong resist the Holy Spirit and rely on methods instead. They harden their hearts and have become religious. Jesus said to the disciples in John 14 and verse 26, this is John's Gospel, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Expect thoughts to consistently appear in your mind through the Spirit now you're born again. God will remind you of those things that you've already forgotten to do, and also verses of Scripture for you to study that you've been reading previously. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is Ephesians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 1. "And you are the quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Verse 2. "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." Verse 3. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Everyone, through the desires of the flesh and the mind, will incur the wrath of God. those God used in the past suffered patiently for obeying Christ as he decided, waiting for his answer and solution in humble circumstances. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God will give the mature in Christ all things when they are ready. Go slowly at the beginning and follow God's direction, and you will avoid any unnecessary mistakes. At the beginning, you will not hear God at the same speed you were making decisions with your mind in the flesh. Conviction is a blessing. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows whether something should even be attempted or not, and when. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. This is Hebrews chapter 4. I'm reading verse 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will in thought, purpose, or action. At the root of all sin is a lie that you believe to be the truth for the sake of your flesh. Jesus became like us and experienced everyday infirmities to fulfill the prophecies. He did not just die on the cross. He had to qualify to die first. He could only fulfill events and times God set by seeking God with all his heart, denying himself and listening to the Holy Spirit consistently. He often referred to the scriptures he fulfilled when these events took place. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 11, I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word dominion in Strong's is number 2904. It's a primary word meaning vigor or great, literally or figuratively. Dominion, mighty power or strength. Man was given dominion by grace, but for this purpose he had to stay humble from the beginning. God resists the proud, and those who remain submitted get the help they need in God's kingdom to rule with him. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works, where you do not have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You need to make sure you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way. And many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been sharing a message about how God is mindful of you. If you believe God loves you, then you'll make him Lord of your life and not go back to the old life of thinking, trying to work it out yourself. Do not strive or try to get anything in this world by getting in the flesh. Everything you need now, really need, is going to come through that communication system. And that's what you need to invest in. As you get to know him, he is going to direct you. He loves you. And now is a time to be mindful of your calling, the calling God has on your life. And he is trying to get you ready. And you may go through humble circumstances, but that is part of God's perfect will. And you can learn lessons and be ready for his appearing. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I pray for all those who want to have this close relationship with you, Father, as they've listened to this message. Encourage them to really incline their ear in complicated situations in Jesus' name. Amen. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out in or via a link to our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. It will be great to hear from you. God bless you and thank you for listening.